Okay, welcome back to another episode of The Art of Action. Today we are with Jude Poyer. Say hello, Jude.
Hello, Jude.
Hey, hi, Scott. Jude, I bet you never heard that one before.
Never heard that before. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Pleasure to have you on, mate. We go back a long way, don't we?
Yeah, I think about 18, 19 years, something like that. We worked together on
whatever
the medallion.
The masses, yeah. The medallion, yeah. Jackie Chan's the medallion.
You're under arrest.
Great movie.
Yeah.
And that was, what, 2001?
It was something like that, wasn't it? 2001, 2002. I get confused. But that was a great film to work on because obviously we're working with Jackie Chan and Sammo Hung, but also... it's a load of British lads out in Thailand having a real good time.
Yeah, there were some adventures. It was yeah. Fun.
But Jude has gone on to be a stunt coordinator, fight director in his own right. Most successfully so far, I would say, for the Gangs of London, which was absolutely superb, mate. I mean,
thank you.
Top-notch stuff. Incredible
stuff.
Thank
you very much.
Never seen action like that in a TV series ever.
Of course, you know, I'd love to take all the credit, but the creators of the show, Gareth Evans and Matt Flannery, do have an awful lot to do with that action. And, you know, it's as I'm sure you can relate to, it's rare on a project of that sort of scale that the action is taken that seriously and given that much attention and time and care. So, you know, I'm very grateful to Gareth and Matt for having me along, and I'm really happy to see people responding to it the way we hoped they would respond.
Today, we're going to be talking about some crazy Hong Kong stunts. Ah! You started off in Hong Kong, didn't you? Just to talk about that briefly, your history in Hong Kong, Jude.
Yeah, I got my start in Hong Kong in the industry there around the end of 1996, and I lived out there for 8 years, working as an action martial art actor and as a stunt performer. And I often hear myself described as a Hong Kong stuntman, and I feel very proud of that, but I'm very aware that I'm probably the least talented stunt guy to ever work in Hong Kong with the least... No, seriously, because we're going to look at these clips and then I'm a fan. You know, when I watch these people, I go, okay. And I think while technically some of these stunts may have dated a little bit in their execution, I think you cannot fault the skill of the people, you know, that performed these stunts and coordinated them.
Absolutely. And we're going to be looking at a time, 80s, early 90s Hong Kong action movies, a time when there was no CGI, a time when the stunts had to be done for real. It all had to be done in camera. And, you know, make no bones about it. If you were going to be a Hong Kong stuntman, you needed to be tough because you were going to be put through the ringer. And I'm sure we're going to see some of that today.
Absolutely. So if I'm pointing out where a crash mat's been used or a wire's been used, it's not to try and take anything away from these people, quite the opposite.
Yeah.
Because nowadays you can paint out the crash mats, you can paint out the wires, you can do all kinds of things. They couldn't do that 30 years ago.
Yeah. Thin wires, thin crash mats.
Yeah, very much. Yeah. So this is from Jackie Chan's 1983 film Project A.
Oh, yeah.
And probably one of his most famous stunt sequences.
Yes. And inspired by... was it Harold Lloyd, was it?
Yeah, I mean, I think Jackie Chan makes no secret of the fact that he's very inspired and influenced by the silent film comedians and performers like Harold Lloyd, Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin. And Hanging Off the Clock is very much Harold Lloyd from Safety Last. But Falling Through the Awnings, I think, was influenced by Buster Keaton. I'm just going to pause to watch the magic unfold in front of the camera. But there was also a Buster Keaton film called Three Ages. And in that, there's a moment where Buster Keaton needs to get from one roof of a building to the other. And he uses a board, kind of like a springboard, to jump. And actually, he failed. He didn't make it. So he got onto the side of the building And then he fell off, and Buster Keaton landed in a safety net. But they still wanted to use the footage. So they came up after the fact with the idea that he falls off the side of the building and through two awnings. And I think that's where Jackie got the idea for this.
So for Buster Keaton, it was a complete mistake.
Jackie's absolutely.
Like, I've got an idea. I'm going to copy that huge mistake.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see how this turns out.
The Keaton Secrets is fantastic, but yeah, it was kind of like that, the accident which injured Tom Cruise, you know, jumping and grabbing onto the side of a building, but Keaton lost his grip and fell below frame onto a safety net. And then they were like, as he was recovering, yeah, maybe we should keep that in the movie. And that's how the canopy sequence was born in.
That's high. That's really high. Perfect landing.
And what Jackie does here, which is really unusual in terms of, like, from a filming point of view, is he actually uses two different takes of the same stunt, one after the other, in the edit of the final movie, which shouldn't make sense to show the character falling differently twice, but that's what he did.
Well, we're all there to see Jackie Chan, aren't we? Jackie Chan do his own stunts, so he did it three times, right?
Well, I'm not going to try and take anything away from Jackie Chan. So, you know, he's like one of the gods of action. He's one of my heroes. He's inspired generations of stunt people. Yeah. When this film was released on DVD in the UK, maybe 20 years ago, I was fortunate to record an interview with Mars, who was one of the stunt team on the film. Right. If you slow down the shot where the clock gets kicked open, and Jackie's hanging from the clock.
As it comes
out. That's the shot. Just there, that's Mars. He's got a very distinctive look. And probably he's doubling for Jackie because it's an inconsequential shot and Jackie's directing the movie. And then Mars told me that they shot it at least three times. And the first time a stunt guy did it, and he got injured. And that's in the outtakes at the end of the movie. And I think you've got the clip of that.
This one is not Jackie.
I think possibly not. I don't know that as a fact, but I think that's an NG. And I imagine that stunt guy probably needed to, you know, take a rest for a few days. But the last take is definitely Jackie. I think it's possible that a stuntman or two stuntmen did it one after the other, one of them being Mars, and then the last time's Jackie.
Second take, we see it's Jackie because he gets up.
Exactly, yeah, so the second take in the movie.
One of the stunt team, you know, got to grips with it first.
Yeah.
Made sure it was in focus.
Absolutely, gave the camera guy a chance to rehearse because it's a pretty, these stunts, they're not just stressful for the performers, they're also stressful for the camera team as well. You know, the focus puller's got to make sure that what's in focus is the right stuff. You know, they're zooming in, they're trying to capture the moment. To talk about the actual technology involved, they're not going straight into hard ground with sand on top. They've created what's called a dugout. So they make a small trench and they fill it with cardboard boxes. And then they put a layer of crash mats on top of that. And then they cover that with sand. There might be like a bit of like a tarpaulin or some Hessian on top of that rig and then the sand on top. And that's what's disguised it. But that's quite a high fall to go into one layer of boxes and mats.
The guy that came off, whether it was Jackie or someone else, the guy that came off the other way, do you think he missed the matting? Or would it all have been, you know, strategically covered?
I hope it was strategically covered. I hope so, but I don't know. I think if you're hitting the deck from that height, it's bad news, no matter how tough you are.
I hope
that the rig had a big margin for error. But of course, the other thing is, in the shot where it's undoubtedly Jackie, he lands, and then you've got Yun Biu and an actress running in. Now, they wouldn't have been able to get really close to Jackie if that had suddenly been like a massive, huge, spongy crash mat area. So that's something else to take into account.
See, this is why we're talking to you, Jude, because you've got all the inside info. Brilliant.
I am speculating here, though.
But it's speculation, but with a wise mind.
Thank you. one of the things I'm a bit confused about with this stunt is, around the same time as Project A was in production, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom was being made. And there's a sequence in that which was shot in Macau. Now, some of Project A was filmed in Macau. And in that sequence, Indiana Jones and the lady played by Kate Capshaw, they jump out of a window and go crashing through two awnings.
Right.
And it's very similar. And I wonder, did one production know what the other one was doing and borrow the idea, or were they both just coincidentally inspired by Buster Keaton?
Hang on a minute. There was that other story as well with E.T. So Project A is with the bicycle as well. And they heard that there was a bicycle chase in E.T. So they all went off to the cinema to watch it. And when they realized it was, you know, obviously very different because they're flying across the moon.
Yes.
They continued with the sequence. So,
but what they did in the Indiana Jones one, Vic Armstrong was one of the stunt coordinators, and they used a device called a fan descender, which basically it's a wire rig. So Vic Armstrong and the female stunt double, I'm not sure who it was, might have been Wendy Leach, they were falling on a cable and being slowed on the way down. And fan descender's original use was training people how to parachute, and Vic Armstrong saw that technology and thought, we could put that to use in the film industry. And Vic actually won an Oscar for technical achievement for developing the fan descender. But if you look at the fall in Indiana Jones versus the fall in Project A, I think you can see the difference. There's gravity doing a bit more work in Project A, and there's a little bit more sort of acceleration. It's known as either Millionaire's Express or Shanghai Express. It's quite widely available.
Shanghai Express.
And it's a stunt performed by Yin Biu.
So not only does he jump off a huge height, he decides, I'm going to do a no-handed cartwheel.
Yeah, so he's doing a Barani, and then runs over, delivers a line of dialogue, so it's undoubtedly
imagine
him.
Imagine if he forgot the line. That's the line.
Go again.
I'm sure they would have cut him for a close-up rather than do it again, but...
I don't know, because Sammo Hung directed this, and I've got a feeling, you know, you've worked with Sammo. If he's not happy, he'll probably go, get up there and do it again. I mean, the thing about this, I think, is that this occurs maybe 20 minutes into the movie. And in a lot of movies, this would be the stunt. But this is just one moment in a sort of a Chinese New Year action comedy. It's kind of a throwaway moment.
Completely incidental.
Yeah, and obviously, Yun Biu's incredible. He's an incredible acrobat. Amazing stuntman before he became an action star. So he's doubled for pretty much everybody in his career. In the 1978 version of Game of Death, he's one of the people doubling for Bruce Lee. And the thing about this Barani, I was lucky, I worked with Biu on a film, and we talked about the stunt. This movie I worked with him was called A Man Called Hero, and we were shooting on a set that reminded me of that set. And I was talking to him about the stunt, and he said, yeah, the rig that I went into was just one layer of boxes with one layer of crash mats. And the crash mats they use, as you'll know, Scott, they're not gymnastic crash mats. They're just foam mats that you would sleep on.
Yeah.
So from that height, going into one layer of boxes and then one layer of mats, it's not a lot of cushioning. And you notice that he's going in dead straight and then he lands on his side. Because if you went in legs first, you'd quite likely break both legs or even paralyze yourself. So it's incredible control. Just to add into it, there's the element of fire as well. Yeah, you see how he
I'm not even thinking about the fire, to be honest, but of course.
You know, you've got that heat coming up into your face. You might essentially be falling blind into your rig because you're doing that Barani somersault. And then you've got this perfect rotation, because if you mess up that rotation, you could be causing yourself some serious damage.
Yeah! Right, what's this one then, Jude?
So this is a film called My Lucky Stars, and this is from the end, and you're seeing Sammo Hung, who also directed the film, and he's fighting a villain played by Lau Gaoing, who's a kung fu master in real life and a veteran of many martial art films. Lau Gaoing's father, Lau Zhan, was actually taught Hong Kun, Hungar Kung Fu, by Lam Sai Wing, who's probably better known as the Magnificent Butcher, a student of Wong Fei Hung. Now, Sammo played the Magnificent Butcher in a movie of that name, and now he's fighting one of his disciples. And this is how he gets finished off, through that table. Should we pause it there? Firstly, just talking about the fight scene. You've got Sammo fighting against Lau Gaoing, who's an incredible real kung fu master in Southern style kung fu. But you can kind of tell on some of the reactions where he's getting hit and flipping over that it's a stunt double performing those things, because just because you're an excellent martial artist doesn't mean you're the best person at falling. Or maybe it's good to let the stunt person do the falling so that you're still fit, the actor is still fit to carry on doing the fight scene and they're not getting too beat up. Going through the table is a different matter altogether. Now, just looking at it as part of the sequence, it may not look like the most impressive stunt in Hong Kong cinema history. But if you see the behind the scenes of how it was done, that's quite impressive, I think. And essentially what you have is a stunt guy, I think it's Yun Hua, and he does a round off, preps for a backward somersault, and just doesn't rotate. He opens up. And I think he got knocked out cold.
Yeah, he looks pretty out cold. You can see he goes stiff.
Yep. I don't know why I'm laughing. And I should also say that if a stunt person is unconscious, it's probably not medical advice to run over by the lapels, start shaking them.
Well, do you know what gets me? Just before he comes in, Sammo gives him that sort of, come on, Ned.
Yeah.
Gives him a look of like, get on with it.
So to get that height, he's doing a round off, beginning a back somersault. That's a lot of commitment. And then he's going through a table that will be made of lightweight wood, and the glass will be sugar glass. So I think we all kind of know what that is. It's made from sugar. It's not likely to cut you. It breaks very easily. I have a feeling that's Yun Hua performing that stunt.
Oh, yeah. Because
Yun Hua was one of Sammo's team. He was an excellent acrobat. It's Yun Hua doubling Bruce Lee for the flips in Enter the Dragon. And for instance, if you look at the opening of Enter the Dragon with the monks, when Bruce's character runs, does a round off and then back somersaults over the outstretched arms of the monks, that's the kind of move that Yun Hua was very good at. And I think he was going for something like that with this.
I think he also does the kip up, doesn't he, Yun Hua? When he throws a punch, because I always, you'd look at that and go, that's not Bruce Lee's butt.
Yeah, he doubled Bruce Lee for that, for the kip up, and he doubled Bruce Lee for the backflip with O'Hara, Bob War.
Oh yeah.
And I believe he doubled John Saxon as well for a kip up when John Saxon's fighting, I think, Bolo at the end of the movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, what do you think about that? Because in all the other Bruce Lee movies, the fights are very realistic. Well, you know, to a point. But do you think that was the influence of the Americans being like, I want to put something special in here? Or do you think Bruce came up with it? Because he wouldn't double himself for a martial arts move like the Bob Wall flip kick previously. So what was it this time? Do you feel like maybe he was felt like he was playing more of a superhero and maybe should do something a bit more fantastic or what?
I don't know. There's some acrobatics in Chinese Connection in Fist of Fury. There's like one somersault in that. And then in The Big Boss, the original got credited stunt coordinator or choreographer of The Big Boss is Hong Yan-git, who played the villain in the film. And Hong Yan-git came from this background of bouncing off trampolines. So you see a bit of trampoline work in Big Boss. So I think the gymnastics element was always going to be in there. And I think it's eye candy. I mean, as you know, real martial arts and acrobatics are kind of quite far apart, but there seems to be this very comfortable marriage on the screen, you know.
Yeah. And, even some of the UFC fighters will celebrate with a backflip now and again.
Absolutely, absolutely. When Bob Wall grabs onto Bruce Lee's ankles and he does that backflip kick, even though it's not realistic and it's entertaining, I can see Bruce Lee being on board with that idea, even if he didn't come up with it, because it kind of, from a character point of view,
slick move.
It makes sense. Bob Wall's done a dirty trick, but I'm going to do something smarter to get out of it.
Yeah, it's very slick. And we've all practiced that one into the pool. Even the guys that can't even do it.
Absolutely. I think we've seen a lot of videos of people failing as well.
Yes.
And the thing about Yuen Wah is he's such a good double for Bruce Lee. I mean, facially, they're not similar. But in terms of physique, they both had this very wiry, muscular, ripped physique. I don't think, and he was able to copy Bruce's mannerisms, because in Enter the Dragon, when he does that backflip and lands, it doesn't just cut there. He carries on with a bit of that.
Yeah.
Once again, just to name drop, I was lucky enough to work with Yuen Wah, and he told me that Bruce talked about, after Enter the Dragon, going to the States and doing more projects. And Yuen Wah was going to be one of the people that he took with him. So I think he and Bruce had that kind of, you know, good relationship.
So what we got next, Jude?
It's another one from My Lucky Stars. And it's with Jackie Chan fighting a character played by Dick Wai.
It looks like it's going to snap his spine.
So here's some behind the scenes, some outtakes.
It doesn't look good on the lower back, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, that's a... Oh, he landed it on his feet. So, yeah, he's thinking... I've landed on my feet. I've got to do that again for sure.
Yeah. As you know, I like to post, memorable stunts on social media. Yeah. And I posted this with the caption, "Oops, somebody forgot the crash mats." And Ridley Choi, who we're going to talk about in a bit, commented, no, there was a crash mat. And I was like, yeah, but not the kind of matting that a Western stuntman would expect for a fall like that.
Yeah.
I think what they've done is they've stretched that lino that's representing the floor over maybe just one layer of crash mats, foam mats.
You can see where her head is.
Yeah.
She's kind of on the curve of the mat, isn't she?
Yes. And on the one where the stunt guy goes in a little bit foot first, that's where you see the floor get a little bit, it just moves a little bit. But it's incredible body control.
Yeah.
But
Angie, is that definitely a shoe on the foot?
That is that's the old shoe on the hand Hong Kong trick with a bit of talcum powder sprinkled, or Fuller's Earth.
Yeah.
And they call that power powder. Firstly, before we talk about the actual stunt itself, I want to talk about the camera angle that they use. Because it's something I noticed about Sammo Hung when he shoots falls, even if they're just low falls. I mean, for me, Sammo is like the ultimate master of like modern day action.
Yeah.
It's low angle, but it's not crazy low angle. It's not like a super wide lens with distortion tilted up. What Sammo tends to do is drop the camera below your natural eye level. And I think that increases the sense of height without it feeling distorted.
Right.
So I think that's one of those things about Sammo, which makes him a master. So he can make a fall from 3 foot feel like it's from 5 feet. Just dropping the eye level. I think if you see a lot of Western cameramen, they're always carrying the camera on their shoulder. And I've seen Hong Kong people, if it's a similar kind of shot, they just hold it underslung here. And it just gives a little bit more sense of height with those kind of things.
Yeah.
Another thing
helps for the kicks as well, in just a basic fight sequence, to get down a little bit, make the kicks look a bit more extended and prettier.
100%, just drop lower than the natural eye level. Just imagine it's like a five-year-old or a six-year-old watching it. A couple of other observations about this, and as you know, we're both subscribed to the Hong Kong style of shooting things in deliberate, predetermined shots and edit points, is you get that close-up of the fake leg passing the face. When it cuts wide, the stunt guy is prepping, he's prepped and just leaping. He's not reacting to the kick. In a lot of Hollywood or Western movie scenarios, they would expect the stunt guy to, the hero throws a kick, the stunt guy reacts to the kick, and then he has to throw himself over the balcony. And then it's more dangerous, but also you can often see the stunt person checking that they're going in the right direction. Where on this, if you play it through frame by frame, you can see the stunt guy's perched. I think he's actually on a slight apple box, like on a level or something. So he's perfectly positioned to launch himself. And you can only do that when you're working with a director, an action director that knows how it's going to cut together.
Yeah.
And Sam, well, he's
the one doing the dangerous stunt, isn't he? So really, it's what do you need, mate? What can I do for you? So if I was in a position there where I was delivering the kick, I'm going to go off his timing, aren't I? He's going to do the stunt, and I'm just going to make the move that I'm supposed to be finishing.
Yeah, and I think that's what Jackie does, actually, if you watch it, is because your eyes aren't really on him. If you watch it, I don't think Jackie threw, like, the full jump-spinning hook kick.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's, hook kick, isn't it? Like a small jumping hook kick.
Yeah, he's just making the motion.
And I'm pretty sure that the stunt guy performing that is Chingalot, who's an incredible stunt guy. We're going to look at some of his other work shortly. One of Sammo's key people. And since then, he's become an action star in his own right. When he was a stuntman, he doubled for everybody. He doubled for Jackie. He doubled for Yung Biu. He doubled for Sammo. And now he's a director and an action director in Hong Kong.
This is the guy from Scorpion King.
That's right. He's the star of Scorpion King. So the next stunt is from a film called Paper Marriage, which is from the late 80s. It was filmed in Canada and it stars Sammo Hung.
And it's Sammo, is it? Is that actually Sammo?
We're going to talk about that.
Oh, no. Did that not go to plan? Was he meant to land on the hard swimming pool floor?
That's pretty much gone the way they plan it to do, although they did more than one take. So, to start with, it is Sammo, and that's real glove.
Going through the tempered glass, he's getting cut to shreds there, surely.
That's right. So what he's doing is he's going through a big sheet of real glass, which gets detonated a fraction of a second before you hit it, and you will get cut. But as opposed to glass that's not detonated, it's not going to slice you or take off a limb or kill you. So Samuel's doing a small version of the stunt. He's going through the glass and landing on a box rig just below frame. And for the wide shot, Chingalok's doubling him, going through the glass, but then continuing the fall. So that's Sammo.
Right.
And now that's Chingalok.
Right.
And he's not actually landing on hard swimming pool side. They've got a load of mats, and then they've covered them with some cloth that's that sort of beigey yellow color.
Okay.
I mean, it's not the most forgiving landing, but I suppose it's better than cement.
It's better than the alternative because it's, you know, you don't even want to slip up on that stuff, do you?
No, absolutely.
I've never gone through a tempered glass window. It's actually something that I really want to do, but I keep getting talked out of it. Oh, I can see. Now, because normally you'll blow it with a detonator.
Yes, and they did here.
They did, but he's hitting it and you can see it bending, can't you?
Yeah.
So is that what's, because normally you have to go through it at speed in order to not get cut as much?
Absolutely, yes. Say,
is it because whatever he's landing on is not far away, so he doesn't want to go too far or miss it? Or is it because he's hit it before it's blown and it's took some of the edge off at the speed?
I wonder if he's actually hit it and the SFX guys a little bit late.
They were late.
That's what I wonder.
Yeah, because you can see it. It takes,
so you can see it. You can see it flexing, and he's probably got an elbow pad on.
Yeah.
But ideally, you want that thing to crack before you go through it. You're right, Samo's not launching himself too far because you don't want to overshoot your boxes and your crash mats.
Yeah.
But what you tend to find is more often than not, SFX people will get the thing sooner rather than later. And you'll see some movies when they do these stunts in slow motion, you can tell that the glass has been detted before the person goes through. I think on that one, well observed, I think Samo actually hit the glass before it went off.
Yeah.
I know you said you'd like to do it. I have to say every time I've done it, I've been cut.
Yeah.
And it's not been serious,
small
cuts, but for instance, I did one movie where I got thrown through a window and hit the ground. It was only like a 2 foot drop. Hit the ground and turned as part of my performance, and my hand landed on a bit of glass and, you know, went into my hand. You know, it wasn't a major injury, but it could have been stitches.
In the medallion with Samo, my character does that bit where he smashes the window. And what actually happened was it all smashed. And then there was a big like shard still up there.
Yeah.
It delayed for a little bit and then it landed on my hand. Yeah. I cut my hand open. I wasn't even going through the bloody thing.
I personally think it's a little bit of that idea of make sure you travel far enough is that's not always an excuse, because even if the glass is on your body, as you travel, you're going to push it away from you and then you're turning and landing on it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's a good chance of getting cut. So usually actors won't be ones going through.
I'd like to do it. I'd like to give it a go. Smash through the window, come up into a fight scene.
Yeah.
I have to schedule it so it's on the last day, though.
Yeah.
Just in case. Folds him in half.
Mm.
Now, that's not Samo, is it?
The stunt of hitting the car, the main stunt is not Samo. That's performed by a stuntman called Qin Xiuling, who was one of Samo's team. And he and I were good friends in Hong Kong. He was from southern China, and he was an opera guy, another Chinese opera guy. And he performs that hard hit. But then it's Samo coming off the front in the shot that follows on. And if you look in that angle there, that high angle, you can actually see there are thin rubber mats on the road.
Oh, yeah.
So you can see there's thin mats there for the stunt double to land on, which nowadays would be so easy to paint out. And, you know, there's actually, we did a car hit in the opening episode of Gangs of London. And the stunt guy was landing on some thin mats, which were digitally removed. But then it's Samo doing the continuation shot. And Samo actually injured himself doing that shot there. He injured his arm.
This guy, how badly injured was he?
I believe he was okay. I mean,
the cars hit him that hard?
Well, the thing is, I don't think the car is actually hitting him that hard. This is another one of those. I mean, it's a hard hit for sure. The close-up of the legs is from a different moment from the shot of the stunt guy hitting the car. So I think the stunt guy is actually attacking the car and leaping into it.
Oh, yes.
So he's picking up his legs.
Yeah.
And then he's getting a nice little kiss from the car.
Yeah.
And then the stunt driver, like
he's hoping to take most of it on the windscreen, but he just goes straight through it and just hits the rim of the...
Yeah, and I think he did. You do see that the metal work on the front of the card does bend a little bit, dent a little bit.
That's his head that's caused that dent, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. So you want to be a stuntman, huh?
Yeah.
In Hong Kong, in the 80s. Yay!
What thing about that stunt guy, Chin Siu Ling, really good stuntman. And once again, really nice guy. And the way he got into Sammo's stunt team is he heard that Sammo was auditioning for new members. And he went down and he met Sammo. And he said, they talked about Chinese opera for a little bit of time. And then Sammo was like, okay, you're in. So he didn't have to do any kind of demonstration or any kind of test. It's just Sammo was happy with his opera credentials.
Yeah.
And that was good enough to give him a job.
Well, yeah, we all know it's tough training.
Mm.
So if you've been through that for more than a couple of years, you're probably quite good.
Tough training, really good spatial awareness, you know, that sort of thing. So you probably found that a lot of Hong Kong stunt people actually aren't martial artists. And, or at least back in the sort of 80s and 90s, a lot of them weren't. They came from an opera background and they were brilliant acrobats, excellent spatial awareness, but they had a good foundation to then learn screen fighting.
I mean, I'm not really even sure what Chinese opera is really. I have my own idea of what I think it is, but I don't know how right I am, but I just see it as it's a lot of acrobatics, and there are some sort of live fight sequences, right? Jumping over the spears.
Absolutely.
Stuff you see the wushu people demonstrating with. So it lends itself completely to filmmaking, you know, martial arts filmmaking, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think if you look at the Beijing opera, you've got acrobatics and singing and dancing and acting. And I think acting is something that people often overlook. There's a reason why Jackie, Yun Biu, Yun Hua are good actors. I mean, Yun Hua has become this amazing character actor, but he's not a stunt guy that became an actor. He's a, you could say, a classically trained actor that became a stunt guy that became a screen actor, because Chinese opera is the theatrical tradition.
It's a life on stage performing, isn't it? And people forget that Bruce Lee was a child actor.
That's correct. And his father was a Chinese opera performer.
There you go.
So I think his father was Cantonese opera, which is a little bit less acrobatic, but there are similarities. And if you look at one of the big carryovers from Chinese opera into Hong Kong action is not just the physicality, but it's the rhythms. Because if you watch people performing Beijing opera and fighting, it's done to percussion. There's this constant, I'm not going to do it for you now. And it can be quite fast and the rhythms change, and that carries over into, if you look at how Jackie Chan fights, there's a rhythm, there's a percussion, and I'm sure you're very, very aware of it, because, and you've probably also seen people who haven't worked maybe with Hong Kong stunt teams that try to emulate that style. They don't understand that. They just go fast because they think Hong Kong action is fast, but it's not. It's about rhythm, different rhythm.
Yeah, I mean, when I'm performing fights and working with someone that's maybe a little bit new to it, I do have to tell them to slow down and take speed off, because they're giving it everything they've got. But what they need to understand is actually it's not going to look better because of that. And if you slow down like half the amount of speed, it's still going to look quick in the camera. But people don't, they're in their own heads, aren't they? But what you need to understand is it's not about what you think. It's about how it looks in camera.
Absolutely.
So we always take a bit off it, and you can get closer to each other and work in unison, and you work into that rhythm and the timing.
And also just in terms of like motion blur, if you're throwing a flurry of punches and it's all super fast, like a professional boxer, it's not necessarily going to register on camera, because from the moment you fully extended to bringing it back, the camera might not have captured that. If you look at Jackie when he fights, it's almost like he lets it linger there for a fraction of a second before he retracts. The same with the kicks. It's because how does the camera read that? Next, so this is quite a special sequence. I think probably I'm not going to say anything about it while we watch it, because I'm hoping you've not seen it. And yeah, let's watch it, and I'm going to watch your reaction.
I think I've seen that little girl before, you see. I think I've seen her going through an absolute horror show. Oh, she's such a lovely little, cute little girl. Surely no harm's going to come to this little girl. I'm sure they'll look after her. Oh, not the Guaylo. You mean Guaylo? Got him. Oh. Oh, no. That's 22 frames. Oh, my God. She's not enjoying that, is she? Those are real tears. Oh, Jesus. That's pretty fast. Oh, my God. You can tell she doesn't want to be there, right? You're not saying anything.
I'm not saying anything until we finish watching. I think we need to...
Me squirm. Oh, poor little Bubba. Oh, look at him. Oh, like, that looks very fast. But then again, it's... Oh, I ended up doing that in triple threat. Nice. Is she actually being hung up by her hair, or is she holding on to his? You tell me later.
I'll tell you later.
No unions in Hong Kong.
Nope.
Just do what you want. Terrible.
Yeah, you wouldn't. You wouldn't get away with doing that nowadays in the UK, and also you wouldn't need to. Oh look, nobody's driving. The handbrake on. There we go.
These days. God, he's got an interesting looking face, hasn't he, this guy?
This film, Fatal Termination, is directed by a gentleman called Philip Coe Fay, who passed away a few years ago. He was a martial arts actor and action director. One of his stunt guys that he worked with on this is a gentleman called Ridley Choi, who I was very lucky to work with. And I asked Ridley about this sequence because it looks insane and it looks really cruel. And basically the way it worked, and I'm not saying I endorse this or not, I'm just saying this is how it was done.
Yeah.
Is that's a fake arm that's basically scaffolding that's rigged to the body of the car.
Really? Oh, right.
And the little girl is in a harness and she's cabled to that bar.
Oh yeah, I can see the fake thumb.
Mm. So there's no way that she's going to drop. She's basically suspended on a steel cable attached to some aluminium or steel that's attached to the body of that car. And then they go for a drive. Now, once again, you wouldn't do that in the UK. You wouldn't get away with it. In fact, that shot there that you're looking at right now, if I was coordinating this nowadays and there was the budget, you'd do it green screen. Okay. So you wouldn't need to have a real road. And if you look at some of the behind the scenes of the car chase in the Raid 2, when green screen is done well, you don't notice it. It's when it's done badly. Now, what I would have done if I had budget and it was back in the 80s for that top shot is you can actually, and they do this in some Hollywood movies when people are fighting on trains and things, is you have like a conveyor belt going beneath the actors and it's just a painted cloth that looks like road. So that's one way that you can do it. But this little girl, she's hanging above real road. But what I can say is that she's cabled in. She's not going to get dropped. It would take some serious mechanical failure or an obstruction in the road, like a huge curb or something, for her to get injured.
They didn't even bother putting some nice boots on her. She's got ballet shoes.
She's got her ballet pumps on. I asked Ridley about this, and he did say... The girl's parents were there all the time and the girl was happy all of the time. And what you're seeing
wasn't really crying.
Is acting.
That's some good acting. It's got
very good acting. And Hong Kong's not known for its child actors.
She looks like she's absolutely shitting herself.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't do stuff like that, you know, in many places in the world. And you shouldn't.
Horrible.
Yes.
Child cruelty. There you go. All right. What's next?
There we go.
That looked gnarly. guessing she's on a wire.
Yeah, she's on a wire. That is Moon Lee doing that. It's very clearly Moon Lee on a wire. I don't think that's her.
I don't think that was Moon Lee.
So there you go.
So that first explosion, yeah, she was in the thick of it.
Yeah, I think what they did there is I think they had two versions of that set. So this one, I think, is probably maybe just 15 feet off the ground in a different tree. And Moon Lee's just jumping onto boxes. And then on this one, she's hoisted up on the wire. 3, 2, 1, they do the explosion. And then they descend her. But the way they did wire descenders back... Oh, look at that. If you watch it slowly, I think the stunt guy's hat comes off. But then when Moon does the overlapping action, her hat stays on. In the edit, you can't tell. It is a hard hit.
Bang.
You would have felt that. And I think what you've got there is probably they had like hardboard on the floor on top of foam mat. So it's not like a fully solid ground that the stuntie's landing on. But yeah, so there's Moon Lee jumping without a wire, probably onto... You know, 10 feet or 15 feet onto crash mats.
It's definitely got her eyes
then
closed.
Cutting to her on a cable, getting lowered. They wouldn't have had fan descenders like they had in Hollywood. It probably would have been a case that the wire was attached to a rope that was getting fed through
See,
a friction.
Two wires there, I think. Is it? Would yeah, it be possibly. Two wires?
Not necessarily. Two would be easier for her to keep that body position because you'd go to either side of the body. She's just getting lowered through an abseiling device, probably like a figure of eight or something. She's not falling at full terminal velocity, sort of breakneck speed, because then if you stopped her, it would give the body an almighty jolt and the wire would probably snap.
Well, you can see that there's a piece of flaming, whatever it is, catching her up here.
Yeah.
Moving quicker than she is.
Yeah. And I think those kind of descender falls look best when they're photographed in slow motion because you're not so aware that the person isn't falling at real speed.
I mean, talk about the Me Too movement. Expected to do what the men were doing back then in the 80s with...
I think it's great because, you know, when Atomic Blonde came out, it's great to see people reacting to... Charlize Theron, she's an action heroine. She's doing her fights. This movie's led by a strong female character. It's great, but that's nothing new, especially if you look at what Hong Kong cinema was doing in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And I think, you know, it's great that people like Michelle Yeoh, Moon Lee were doing a lot of their own action and a lot of stunts. And sometimes they get doubled, but sometimes the male stars got doubled. They did a lot of work themselves and they did it very well and they were as tough as any of the men.
You're expected to do it. I think of that scene in, is it Police Story 2? Where the love interest, I forget her.
Maggie Cheung's being chased by Benny Lai.
She gets hit on the head.
Yeah.
That looked like a nasty one.
That was a nasty one. I feel kind of bad about that because Maggie Cheung never really positioned herself as an action actor. But
she was made to do it.
She was made to do it, but Moon Lee...
She's coerced into doing that shot.
Moon Lee did a lot of action movies and she was very, very good at it. Like a lot of action stars, she actually came from a dance background. But those skills transferred very well to film. There's another movie, I think you've got the footage of, showing some pyro, which didn't go very well. There's a film called Devil Hunters, which also starred Moon Lee. And in that, Moon Lee, Ray Loy, and Sibel Wu are meant to jump away from an explosion. And Sibel Wu, who's not an action actress, not particularly physical, got very, very badly burned.
Because she's delayed it.
She's sitting, and I imagine the pyrotechnician has pressed that button when somebody said a cue, like 3, 2, 1, go, yeah, as opposed to when he's seen the last person leave their jumping spot. It's not good.
Not good at all.
Not good at all.
The reason why they call them stunts.
Absolutely. You know, there is a world.
A predicament there where it's like, okay, it's a bit high and I'm worried to jump.
Yeah.
So I'm a bit scared to jump. But if I don't, I'm going to get burnt. Yeah. Not a good situation to be in.
I don't want to cast aspersions on any of the crew, but I would say that the way it's shot and edited, it didn't need to be any of the actors doing that. It could have been three stunt doubles who were experienced. That's actually a bit of a crawl.
Nothing to do with the stunt going wrong, is it?
Yeah, it is. The producers basically are talking about what happened, which is, it's nasty. It's kind of a cash-in on how they let one of their cast get hurt. And it's not a case of Jackie Chan or Tom Cruise getting a bit injured. This is an actress who's not known for doing action, doing something which I think she shouldn't have been put in that position. That's my personal take on it. And I would say you could have done that same shot with three stunt doubles, and the stunt doubles could have been in head to toe fireproof clothing and covered in you know, heat resistant gel, and they wouldn't have been at great risk.
It's a pretty forceful explosion as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks like petrol's been used, and you know, petrol's quite unforgiving.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I mean, it's burning, flipping hell. I mean, I'd done something like that in El Gringo, and I had it blow up around my feet, and I jumped off the roof. But it's just one of those ones that it's a flash, and then it's powder. So there's heat at the very beginning, and then it's just a cloud.
Yeah, I mean, good pyrotechnicians will be able to give you something that looks like that, which isn't very dangerous. That's a real helicopter, and that's a real jump.
Is that a real Jackie, though?
That is a real Jackie. When Jackie is running and he jumps onto the helicopter, in the behind the scenes, you can see that he's got a safety wire on.
Okay.
It's not assisting him. It's still Jackie Chan doing a real jump onto a real helicopter. And you can see the wire goes up to a pulley on the helicopter and then down. And there'll be people pulling to help Jackie, assist Jackie up the ladder as he climbs.
They're pulling him from inside the helicopter?
No, you see the line goes up to the helicopter and down.
Oh, these guys, yeah.
So it's they're giving him an assist.
Is it all Jackie? Probably not.
Probably not, but he's certainly doing some of it.
I reckon Tom Cruise was watching this.
I'm very confident he was watching this. But that looks like Jackie Chan.
Looks like Jackie.
I wonder with this if there's a helicopter involved for that crashing through the awning, or if that was just some crane.
6 foot off the ground.
Wire rig, yeah. Now, Jackie, as we've discussed, is a big fan of Buster Keaton. And I recently rewatched The General, and I think this in part was influenced by The General, this sequence. Now, when Jackie drops onto the train, I don't think he's dropping onto the train. I think there's a false perspective thing here. I think he's falling to the side of the train onto some boxes because if he'd missed, that would have been bad news.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
because you notice you don't see the ground.
Well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be an awkward landing.
You'd bounce out of it.
Yeah. Yes.
Brilliant
moment.
Brilliant. Forgot about that.
One of the things that I find Stanley Tong is interesting as a Hong Kong action director is, I think he's just as much influenced by the Bond films and by Steven Spielberg as he is other Hong Kong filmmakers. I think this sequence has a very much a James Bond, Indiana Jones type feel to it. I could imagine Vic Armstrong directing it.
Yeah.
There's a group of visual effects guys that break down action sequences on YouTube.
Crew. Yeah.
Yeah. And they were talking about this film and they were questioning the use of wires. And they sort of said, oh, you couldn't have used wires back then because you couldn't paint out wires. And it's true that you couldn't digitally paint out wires, but you could optically do it, which is more of a photographic process. And I think Jackie was one of the few people that could afford to paint out wires. I know the corridor guys were saying Michelle Yeoh can't possibly be on wires because they would have had to paint them out. But I know for a fact she was on wires. Bruce Law told me that he saw the behind the scenes of Terminator 2 and the motorcycle jump in that. And he was like, okay, we can drop her onto the train using wires. So what you actually have is Bruce Law doubles Michelle Yeoh for a jump, and he jumped over the train onto boxes.
See, I've seen that and I thought it was her doing it. That's what really amazed me.
Yeah. So she's doing a small jump. I mean, that's all credit to her. That's a real motorcycle jump. But the following on shot is Bruce Law, and then
So that's Bruce Law.
That's Bruce Law, and he's not going onto the train, he's going over the train, and that's Michelle Yeoh.
It's like she's gonna smash into the side of it there. So this is her doing a smaller jump on a moving train.
Yeah, but it's not a jump. She's levitating on wires. You can see the behind the scenes. The bike is completely wired.
Okay.
And the train's going, and then they just lower the bike. I say just. It's very impressive stuff. They lower the bike onto the train.
Right, okay.
And then the wires get painted out. This is a stunt performed by a gentleman called Ridley Choi, who's an incredible Hong Kong stuntman and later on action coordinator, director.
That is like inch perfect. That's quite a hit.
It really is.
That's an incredible stunt, isn't it?
It is. It is. I mean, one of the reasons why I wanted to share that to contrast with like the Project A and the Supercop ones is a lot of people won't know about this stunt. It's from a small independent Hong Kong film. It's just a little moment. It's not like the stunt of the film, but it's incredible, the skill involved.
Mm.
And there's not a lot of technology.
To time that, because if you don't land on the edge, you're going to struggle making it onto the other van, aren't you?
Yeah.
That's the thing about it.
I mean, nowadays, if you did that, you would resort to wires. You'd resort to CGI. That you could do it, but it would be very safe and it would be very controlled. One of the things Ridley said to me years ago was, your skill is your safety. And that's a case of, there's a certain amount of planning involved. You've got, obviously, the stunt guy's wearing pads under his costume. I think the van might be tethered to the truck. I don't know this for sure, but if it's tethered, then it's getting pulled at a constant speed and the distance between the two vehicles is constant. But at the end of the day, you've got a guy jumping off a bridge, falling onto his back and doing a spin onto another vehicle.
Well, if it's tethered and he misses the first place he's supposed to hit and he just goes through the gap, then that other van is getting pulled straight over him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if he doesn't hit the edge of the blue part close enough to the edge, he's just going to roll down in between it anyway.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
It doesn't get any ballsier.
The timing. Do you think they might have done a few dry runs onto put a mat on top of it and maybe there's no gap there?
You would think so, but I imagine, knowing where that is in Tsim Sha Tsui East in Hong Kong, I have a feeling they probably stole that shot.
Right. Busy street.
Yeah, I have a feeling. I don't know if you could shut that down. And you're right, the way to go about it would be to practice with mats.
Yeah.
Nowadays, if you did it, you'd have a safety wire on the guy, for sure. But what Ridley said was like, it took him several days and hours of visiting the location. The night before, I think he went there and psyched himself up to do it. I mean, I've done stuff, nothing like that, where I've had to jump off something onto a moving vehicle. And one of the things you can do, which isn't particularly scientific, is what I call the tennis ball test, is when the vehicle reaches a certain point, if I let go of a tennis ball, where on the vehicle roof does the tennis ball land? Because the tennis ball is just gravity. The tennis ball is going to fall at the same rate of speed as you would.
Will you not fall faster than the tennis ball?
Gravity, if you're untethered, if there's no wires, you're falling at the same speed, unless there's drift or drag, which there won't be with a tennis ball.
No.
So that can be a way of gauging, you know. And in a Hollywood stunt, I don't think it's as impressive as this, but in Hard Target, there's that shot where Van Damme and Yancy Butler's doubles jump off the train. I mean, jump off the bridge onto that train.
Yeah.
And you're just so aware that there's massive gaps between the carriages. And like, yeah. If you mistime that, it's bad news.
Yeah. Yes, it's all about the timing, isn't it? There's some great stunts in that film.
Mm.
That guy goes over the top of the car. That's a great stunt.
It is. That stunt in Hard Target, I think, it's brilliant. And then it's an awesome stunt.
No, they've ruined it. That is amazing. The fact that he stands up and starts surfing, they didn't need that.
It's not just that, though. When the stunt guy does like a really ballsy stunt, he's on top of that bike, the vehicle hits, he rolls, and they cut to a shot of Jean-Claude doing like a roly-poly, you know, and it's like, we don't need that.
Oh, yeah, we didn't need that, but also the way he stands up on the bike beforehand.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just better that he's riding the bike and he smashes into the jeep and he's got his hands on the handlebars and at the last minute.
Yeah.
Much better.
But yeah, just to talk about Ridley Choi, you know, he's of a later generation compared to the Jackies and the Yuen Bues. He's a bit younger. He's one of the last of the sort of opera-trained Hong Kong stunt guys.
Yeah.
And he just, amazing spatial awareness. He got well known for doing hard hits, high falls, and then his martial arts was pretty good. He did a lot of one-on-one fight scenes. And then he moved into directing. And there's another stunt that I've sent you from a film that Ridley directed called No Regret, No Return. And Ridley directed it and played one of the characters in the film. And I don't know many people that would put themselves in this position where you're going to jump out of a window and use an ambulance as as the thing to slow you down. But that was Ridley.
Nice.
So this is Tiger Cage 3, which is directed by Yuen Woo Ping.
I can tell because I've seen that move in so many of his movies.
Mm.
In fact, that's what Jet Li does in the swimming pool fight that I was in Unleashed.
Ridley's also very tall for Hong Kong Chinese. He's 6 foot tall, so Ridley would double for people like Chow Yun-fat and some of the taller actors.
Is this the Fat Dragon one?
Yeah, Skinny Tiger, Fat Dragon. So that's
Sammo
really kicking him in the face.
He's got a mean streak, Sammo, hasn't he? Come on.
Yeah, but the thing is, Ridley was one of...
I don't know, was that an accident?
No, Ridley was one of the choreographers for this film. And he told me that he was on the film and he wanted to show like the Sammo Hung stunt team guys, no, I'm good, I can take it. So he suggested that.
Kick me in the face, Sammo.
Yeah.
I've got a great idea.
Well, the thing is, Sammo did use then Ridley in Pantyhose Hero to play the main villain. So I think Sammo was impressed by Ridley.
Because he knew he could kick him in the face at will.
Yeah.
That stunt when he gets kicked off the balcony cracks through the vase, but the vase doesn't really break his fall. He just hits the edge of it. The vase moves away and he just lands on the back of his head. That is an insane stunt.
I was told it was an NG stunt in that the idea was that he would hit the vase and it would collapse and sort of break his fall.
Yeah.
So that stunt in Project A2 it's like an accident that got included in the film, and rather show stuff that people did and didn't get hurt and that went to plan, because like to say that, you know, there's a difference between stunt performers and daredevils doing Jackass, you know. I'm not saying they shouldn't have included that stunt as it was, because it looked incredible, but that wasn't how they designed it.
It didn't go to plan, but they kept it. And I think that's the right thing to do. I mean, it's, you know, on a very less dangerous level, doing a fight sequence somebody gets clocked in the face, we all know not to stop. So if you hit the guy in the face, you've got to continue, because otherwise he's been hit in the face for no reason.
100%. I'm with you 100%.
It's probably going to look good.
No, I'm with you 100%. I'm not saying they shouldn't have included it. I just thought, I don't want to just highlight an accident reel. Do you know what I mean?
What do you think is Jackie Chan's best stunt?
I think the clock tower in Project A is iconic.
Yeah.
I think the end reel of Police Story is incredible. And the slide down the pole, but also
that one over the balcony. And he smashes through that hut.
Yes.
Through the glass, over the balcony, smashes through the hut. That looks more dangerous than the other one to me.
Yeah, and on I was watching the 88 Films brought out in the UK brought out a new Blu-ray of Heart of the Dragon, and there's a lot of behind the scenes of Heart of Dragon. Jackie was essentially doing Heart of Dragon in daytime, and then at nighttime he was moonlighting, he was directing and starring in Police Story. And there's one bit in this behind the scenes footage where he's talking to the people about how he got hurt the night before or 2 days before. And clearly he's talking about the ending of Police Story, and he's done his back in by landing on a hard piece of wood. So I think it's either that one going over the balcony or the slide. So in Heart of Dragon, there's a couple of moments where he's doubled, like Yuen Biu doubles him for a kick. And I'm thinking, that's kind of fair enough if you've just been shooting Police Story and your back's messed up if you need to be doubled for a jumping kick. You know?
Oh, yeah, crazy stunt. Crazy.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, well, he's the man.